सुभद्रा ने की जाए। श्री क्षेत्र जगन्नाथपुरी नीलाचल धाम की जाए। गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल। All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine, Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine, निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चाता दिशुधारी ने। हरे कृष्णा। सो हाउ इज द परिक्रमा गोइंग? एवरीवन इज ब्लिसफुली पार्टिसिपेटिंग। व्हाट वेयर डिड यू ऑल गो टुडे? डिफरेंट पीपल वेंट टू डिफरेंट प्लेसेस। Or, Jagannath Balo, yeah, right, yeah.
Main temple.
Yeah, okay, Jagannath Balo, main temple.
Main temple around.
Okay, most of the major temples, or just around Jagannath temple. Okay, and then he went to Jagannath Balo, yeah, and. And then he went and took prasad. Where did you all take prasad? Nigamananda Ashram. And the prasad was on time? It was on time. Yesterday it was a little late, yeah? And accommodation and everything is alright. Very good. Are you all enjoying it? Huh? Everybody is enjoying it? Okay. Hare Krishna. So, the topic that was given to me to speak today is the mystery of Lord Jagannath's appearance. I was wondering whether that topic has been already covered so far. How many of you know the incidents of Lord Jagannath's appearance? Those who know, please raise your hands. Those who do not know and want to know, please raise your hand. Okay. Very good. And, okay, Lord Jagannath's appearance, it's actually a mystery. Mystery in the sense, the first consideration is that who is Lord Jagannath? We know that Jagannath is Krishna. Then if Jagannath is Krishna, then why doesn't he look like Krishna? He looks different. Isn't it? Yes? How does Krishna look? Krishna looks like you. But Jagannath looks a little different, yeah? Like Krishna's form is described as Naravapu, like human-like form. Krishna's form is like a human being. And like human being in the sense that Krishna's form is different from Narayan's form. Human beings have four arms, human beings have two arms, Narayan has four arms. So, Narayan is different. And whereas Krishna is two-armed. Seeing Narayan, one can see that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Krishna doesn't look like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna looks like a human being. And not only Krishna looks like a human being, Krishna looks like a cowherd boy. A simple village boy. He doesn't even look like a city boy. He looks like a village boy. He doesn't look like a prince. He looks like very ordinary village boy. And whereas when it comes to Jagannath, we don't see any semblance to Krishna as such. You know, like about Jagannath, there are so many different misconceptions. You know, some people think that Jagannath is a Buddhist deity of worship, Buddhist deity of worship. They don't consider that Jagannath is even a Hindu god. People have misconception that Jagannath is a Buddhist. The Buddhist actually established the Jagannath temple. There are many, many misconceptions due to lack of understanding. Then, it is mainly because of the influences that there were. Like when the when different sect became prevalent and they took over the worship, or they influenced the worship, they tried to give their own stamp. At one point in time, this temple was actually predominantly influenced by the Buddhists. They took over. At one time, the whole of India was under the Buddhist influence. The king took over. King Ashok defeated the king of Kalinga, which means Orissa, and he took over and he started to spread Buddhism. And temple, which is a place of worship for common people, if you turn that temple in with certain ideology, then people will also take to that ideology. And that is how the influences actually took place. And then came, there was also the influence, prior to that there was a, after that there was the influence of the impersonalists. The impersonalists took over. And anyway, by Krishna's mercy, Jagannath's original identity has once again been established for our benefit. We are recognizing Jagannath as Jagannath. We are recognizing Jagannath as Krishna. And of course, you know, how can there be any doubt in anyone's mind? Because we are seeing Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra. So naturally, when Balaram and Subhadra is there, the personality, Jagannath, is Krishna himself. How can there ever be any misconception? Now, if we want to recognize who Jagannath actually is, then we have to go back to the Skanda Puran. Skanda Puran gives a very vivid description of who Lord Jagannath is and how Lord Jagannath appeared. Lord Jagannath was present here long time back as Nilamadhav, that is Krishna in his bluish form. Once a king, a very pious king, King Indradumna, he wanted to have the darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That was Satya Yuga. In Satya Yuga, the Lord was not present in the form of his deity. In Satya Yuga, one used to see the Lord in the heart as the super soul through meditation. The deity form actually became prevalent in Dwapar Yuga. Prior to that, in Satya Yuga, the Lord's deity was not prevalent. Lord was not so widely manifest as his deity. His form used to be perceived through meditation. And the process for perceiving the Lord, process for developing a relationship with the Lord in the Satya Yuga was meditation. And one could see people in Satya Yuga were very pure. Because they were very pure, they could very easily withdraw their senses and project their consciousness internally. By purifying their consciousness, they could see the Lord face to face in the heart. But in Treta Yuga, people lost that ability. And the process became sacrifice. And when the sacrifice was successfully performed, then the Lord used to appear from the sacrificial fire. And then people could see him face to face. But in Dwapar Yuga, people lost that ability also. And then there was this custom of the Lord manifested himself in the form of his deity, and the process of worshipping him in the temple started. And now we are in the age of Kali. And the problem with the age of Kali is, although the Lord is present in his deity form, and the deity of the Lord is non-different from himself, still we do not want to see him. Although we have such a wonderful opportunity to see the Lord face to face, still we don't want to see him. That is the unfortunate state of affairs in the age of Kali. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and gave the process of Sankirtan, chanting the holy name of the Lord, and by doing that, developing our relationship with him. Anyway, so we are talking about Satya Yuga, when the Lord was not present in his deity form. And King Indradumna wanted to see him. He wanted to see the Lord. Can you imagine? Like, he wanted to see the Lord, but he didn't know how he could see him, because his form was not manifest. So, different people started to give him, his ministers were giving him various advice, and main advice actually was that it is not possible for you now. You are a king, and it's not possible for you to go to the forest or a mountain cave and perform austerities and then see the Lord in your heart. So King Indradumna became so heartbroken that he practically stopped all his activities, started to neglect his royal responsibilities, and he became extremely morose. He lost interest in everything, and the ministers and all the concerned royal individuals, royal dignitaries, were very much afflicted seeing the king in that condition. And when they were sitting in the assembly and consulting about what to do, at that time one person just appeared from nowhere. He was a pilgrim. He was a Brahmin who just used to travel from place to place. Many Brahmins those days, or in early days, used to do that. They wouldn't have any home. They would just wander around from place of pilgrimage to another place of pilgrimage. So this Brahmin just appeared there, and he said that the Lord is present as Nilamadhav on the bank of the saltwater ocean on the Niladri mountain. The king became very curious, and to hear that the Lord is present on Niladri Mountain on the bank of the saltwater ocean. Probably you remember there are seven islands and seven oceans. The closest one is actually the saltwater ocean. The Mandala, the Bhumandala, has got seven islands and seven. The innermost island is Jambudvip, which is surrounded by saltwater ocean. Anyway, so the king, as he was about to ask the Brahmana more details about where that Niladri mountain is, he found that the Brahmana disappeared. So the king became very afflicted, and he just saw that the Brahmana came, gave the information, and right after that he just disappeared. But then the minister says, at least we got some information that the Lord is present as Nilamadhav in some place. So the Lord in Satyuga was present only in this one form, Nilamadhav. Just one deity of the Lord was present at that time as Nilamadhav. So the king arranged to send various people, the Brahmanas, to different directions to find out where was that Niladri mountain, blue mountain, where the Lord is present. So he sent his Brahmin messengers to search, and all of them came back after a while unsuccessful. The only person who didn't come back was Vidyapati, the chief priest of the royal family. So in the meantime, Vidyapati, traveling, became extremely tired, and he came to a Savara village. Savaras are the hunting tribe. They are considered to be the outcasts. The Vedic society has very strict, used to have a very strict division of social divisions. As you know, the four Varnas, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. And those who did not fall in these four categories, they were considered to be antajas or outcasts. And various other types of people used to belong to that category. And the Savaras are actually a part of that outcast. They are hunters, they are not very cultured, they are sort of uncivilized. They don't even come into the structure of the Vedic Varnashram structure. So normally a Brahmana would not go to a Savara's village, or won't even have anything to do with a Savara. But Vidyapati, being extremely tired after traveling, wandering for so long, becoming tired and hungry, and He came across the Savara village. When a person is in distress, in a difficult condition like that, wherever he finds a human habitation, he will naturally go there. So Vidyapati just walked into the house and knocked at the door. And that house happens to be the house of the king of the Savaras. A king doesn't mean that he was a very royal personality. A king meant he's the leader of the Savaras. And he was not at home, but his daughter Lalita was there. And she, when she saw that there is a tired traveler at the doorstep, she invited him to the house and treated him with respect and honor, and she requested him to stay till her father came back. And when Vishabhoshu, the king of the Savaras, came back, he saw that this young Brahmana boy was extremely tired after this long travel. So he requested him, why don't you stay in the house, stay at our place and relax for a while, for a few days. So he accepted his invitation and he stayed on. And then the king of Savara, Vishabhoshu, one day requested him, why don't you marry my daughter? So Vidyapati accepted. She must have been a very nice girl, and so he accepted her in marriage. Now, while staying in the house of the Savara king, Vidyapati used to notice that Vishabhoshu used to go out at night and come back early in the morning. And whenever he would come back, there would be a beautiful fragrance exuding from his body. And so he naturally became curious and he asked his wife, Lalita, Lalita, where does your father go at night? And when he comes back, you know, there seems to be such a beautiful fragrance coming from him. Then Lalita said, actually my father goes to worship Nilamadhav. So Vidyapati jumped with joy, Nilamadhav. And Lalita started to describe, yes, Nilamadhav is the Lord and my father goes to worship him. So he said, why don't you ask your father to take me to have the darshan of Nilamadhav? Lalita said, my father actually told me not to tell anybody. It's a secret. My father is worshipping Nilamadhav. It's a secret, it's a top secret for him. The only person who knows about his worshipping Nilamadhav is me. And he strictly warned me that I don't tell anybody. If he finds out that I told you, he'll kill me. He said, no, I am your husband, and there is no secret. There shouldn't be any secret between husband and wife. So you should tell your father that you told me, and you request him to take me to Nilamadha. So when Lalita went and told Vishabhoshu, naturally Vishabhoshu got very, very furious. Why Vishabhoshu was so secretive about worshipping? Because those days, anyone other than a Brahman were not expected to worship the Lord or perform any Vedic activity. So the Vedic society was so strict. Strict, it is not some sort of blind superstition, but the qualities of people were so defined. People were so systematically situated in their respective qualitative varnas that everybody developed his specific quality and everybody acted according to those qualities. Like those days, a Brahmana was a Brahmana. Qualitatively, he was a Brahmana, therefore he was supposed to act in a specific way. Similarly, a Kshatriya was a Kshatriya. His characteristics were like that. And that's why there was no mixture of the Varnas. The qualification, the activities were very much in relation to their qualities and qualification. And that's why in Bhagavad Gita Krishna is saying that sadharma nidhanam shreya paradharma bhayava. It is better to die performing one's own dharma, one's own duty, than performing somebody else's duty. So anyway, the Savaras were not supposed to act in a Vedic way or perform any Vedic ritual, what to speak of worshipping. They were not, what to speak of reading the Vedic scriptures, they were not even supposed to touch the Vedic scriptures. And anyway, so that's why he knew that if it becomes known, then he would be in trouble. But Vishavasu was in such deep love with Nilamadhav that he could not even think of becoming separated from Nilamadhav. Therefore, he was so secretive about it. Anyway, he was angry with Lalita. Why did you tell your husband? But Lalita said, look, he is my husband. I'm not supposed to keep any secret from him. He should know everything about me. So Vishavasu then became pacified. And then Vishavasu told him, then Lalita requested him, please, he is so keen to go and see Nilamadhav. And after all, he is your son-in-law. He's like your own son. Why? What's there to hide from him? Then finally Vishavasu agreed due to Lalita's persuasion, and he agreed to take Vidyapati to Nilamadhav on one condition, that he'll have to go blindfold. So Lalita went and told that to Vidyapati. Vidyapati said, fine. And before he was about to leave, he told Lalita, give me some mustard seed, please. Lalita said, why? He said, well, I'll need the mustard seed for the worship. So he took some mustard seeds, tied up at the end of his cloth. And while he was walking with Vishavasu, led by Vishavasu, he just kept on secretly scattering the mustard seeds on the way. Why? Because that was his way of finding the way to Nilamadhav. Although he was going blindfold, he actually made this arrangement. In course of time, these mustard seeds will turn into plants. And by seeing those plants, you'll be able to find his way to Nilamadhav. Vidyapati was led to Nilamadhav's temple on top of the Niladri mountain. And now, mind you, the place that we are talking about, we are right here. This is the place. Now, you may question, why do you call it a mountain? It's not a mountain. You're describing it as a Niladri or blue mountain. It's not a mountain. Yes, it is a mountain. It's the collection of sand from the ocean that has covered the height of the mountain. This is a mountain in the shape of a conch shell. Therefore, another name of this place is Shankha Kshetra. Shankha means conch shell. So it is like a conch shell, and right on top of that conch shell is the temple of Lord Jagannath. Anyway, I'll come to that. He was brought to the temple. Satya Yuga is a long, long time. The distance between Satya Yuga to Kali Yuga is almost 4 million years. So it was here that Vishavasu, Vidyapati had the darshan of Nilamadhav. the blue lotus-eyed husband of Lakshmi Devi. And then Vidyapati was asked to just wait, and Vishavasu went to collect some fruits and flowers from the forest. And while Vidyapati was waiting, he saw that a crow that was sitting on a tree on the bank of a pond all of a sudden died, and as his body fell on the water of that pond, and as it touched the water of the pond, immediately that developed a four-armed spiritual form and went back to the spiritual sky. A crow, just an ordinary bird, not even an ordinary bird, is probably one of the dirtiest birds, dirtiest of all birds, as it died, but just in coming in contact with this water, developed its spiritual form and went back to the spiritual sky. So Vidyapati could see the spiritual potency of this place and the spiritual potency of that pond. So Vidyapati decided that, let me give up my body here. Just by giving up my body, just by dying in contact with this water, I'll develop my spiritual identity and I'll be able to go back to the spiritual sky. So Vidyapati was just about to commit, just about to give up his life, plunging into that water, drowning himself in that water. But then he heard a voice announcing that, Vidyapati, don't forget that your friend is waiting for you. King Indradumna is waiting for you to come back to him with the news of this. Nilamadhav, this is not the time for you to give up your body. You have so many things to accomplish. So due to that voice, Vidyapati decided not to give up his life. And in the meantime, Vishavasu came back, and when he was serving the Lord, he heard the Lord speaking. He said, Nilamadhav told him, Vishavasu, I have accepted your service for many years, but now I want to take the service of the king of Avanti, King Indradumna. The moment he heard, Vishavasu thought that this Brahmana must have conspired with the Lord. And because he is from Avanti, he was from the king of Avanti, so he thought he must have persuaded in his absence, he must have persuaded Nilamadhav to leave his service and go to King Indradumna. So he just, out of anger, he just jumped and grabbed him by his throat and dragged him down and said that, I'll kill you. He said, although I would like to kill you, but I will not, because you are my son-in-law. But instead of killing you, I'll just tie you up to the tree and let the wild animals in the forest do the job for me. Let them kill you. Saying that, he tied him up and he left him there in the middle of the forest and went home. When he returned home, his daughter Lalita asked him, Father, what happened to Vidyapati? He went with you, and now you came back all by yourself. Then Vishavasu told her what happened. And he said that I kept him tied up to a tree in the forest. Then Lalita ran into the forest and started to look for her husband. And finally, by the arrangement of Providence, she found him. she released him from his tied up condition. And then Vidyapati told her, Lalita, I'll just go now to Avanti and I'll come back soon. Saying that, he left and he went back to Avanti and told the king, King Indradumna, that he found Nilamadhava. So King Indradumna came with his entourage and paraphernalia, with the soldiers and all his royal entourage. And but in the meantime, the mustard seeds that had been scattered by Vidyapati grew into the plants. And by seeing those plants, Vidyapati went to the temple of Nilamadhav. But when he went there, he found that the deity of the Lord is not there. Nilamadhav is missing. He naturally thought, his first thought was, it must be the arrangement of Vishavasu. He must have kept him hidden somewhere. So he arrested Vishavasu and interrogated him, questioned him, where did you keep the deity of Nilamadhava? He was silent, never did he say anything. He was tortured, still he did not say a word. Then the king surrounded the village, sieged the whole village, and cut all the supplies so that the whole village would be subjected to intense suffering due to lack of food and water. And then probably they would admit where they kept the deity. In this way, after he sieged the village of the Savaras, then one day he had the darshan. He heard a voice in a dream telling him, Indradumna, why are you unnecessarily torturing these innocent Savaras? They did not steal me and take me to some, he kept me hidden in some place. It is I who actually have become unmanifested. It is I, out of my own sweet will, have disappeared. And you won't be able to see me in this form. But I have appeared in the form of a log floating in the sea. Just go to the bank of the ocean and there you will find me in the form of a log. So take that log, and from that log you carve my deities and worship me in that way. So he immediately jumped out of his bed and ran to the ocean, and to his great surprise and at the same time great satisfaction, he found that true to the dream, a log has come floating. A huge log was floating there. So he tried to pull the log out of the water, but the log wouldn't move. He couldn't just pull it out of the water. So then he got his men and applied them to pull it out of the water. They didn't succeed. Then he used his soldiers, his horses, his elephants, all the power that he had, all the strength he had at his command. He applied them to pull the log out of the water. Didn't succeed. Now, although the log has appeared, but still King Indradumna is frustrated. How could he pull it out of the water? Then again he had a dream. And in the dream he was informed that if Vidyapati and Vishwabhushu hold two ends of the log, then they will be able to pull it out of the water. King Indradumna told that to Vishwabhushu and Vidyapati. And to everyone's great amazement, they found, it was seen that they could very easily pull out the log that hundreds of elephants and thousands of horses and tens of thousands of soldiers could not pull out of the water. Just these two persons very easily pulled that log out of the water. Anyway, the log was taken. So king got the best carver to carve the deity of the Lord out of that log. The carver came, and the best carver was selected. But as he took the chisel and hammer and struck on the wood, as it touched the wood, his chisel and hammer broke into pieces. The king got more carvers to carve the deity, and that's what happened in each case. As soon as they would try to carve, their tools would immediately break into pieces. So king again was extremely frustrated. The king was extremely frustrated. Then one day an old man came and introduced himself as Ananta Maharana, and he volunteered to carve the deities out of that wood. The king told him, so many tried, but they all failed. Do you know what is happening? He said, yes, don't worry, I will carve it. But I have a condition that as long as I am working behind a closed door, no one would enter into that room. As long as I don't finish my work, no one should enter into the room. The king immediately agreed, said, fine. And then, behind the closed door, this carver, Ananta Maharana, started to carve the deity. And King Indradumna, to his great satisfaction, heard the work is going on inside. He would hear the carving of the wood. And then he became very satisfied that finally the work is, someone is able to carve the deity out of this wood. But then after a fortnight, after 14 days, all of a sudden the sound stopped. The king became extremely anxious. What happened? Why the thing stopped? But there was a condition that nobody would enter into the room. Now he started to wonder, what should I do? Like, this person was already quite old, I mean, maybe he had a heart attack. So then finally, out of his deep anxiety, the king flung the door open. And then he saw three incomplete forms standing there, and that carver, Ananta Maharana, is not there. The king became very, very disappointed. And he felt very guilty that he broke his promise. He promised that until the work is complete, no one would enter into the room. But breaking that condition, he entered into the room. And it is because of him the Lord's deities didn't become complete. So the king then decided to give up his life because of this offense. So he sat on kusha grass and stopped eating and drinking in order to give up his life. That is called prayopavation, like Parikshit Maharaj did. When he got to know that he was going to die in 7 days, he also sat on a kusha grass on the bank of the Ganges to give up his body and stopped eating and drinking. So after 3 days, King Indradumna heard the voice of the Lord again. And the Lord told him, Indradumna, don't think that this form of mine is incomplete. You just do the shringar of this form and worship me, installing me in a temple, and I'll accept your worship. And don't think that this is an incomplete form of mine. Actually, this is my eternal form. And in this form, I am eternally present in the spiritual sky. So then King Indradumna made the arrangement. And those three apparently incomplete forms are Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra. Now, another question comes here. The Lord instructed King Indradumna that these forms are his eternal form in the spiritual sky. So where are these forms then in the spiritual sky? Who are these forms? What are these forms? Now this part has been explained by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, on the occasion of Ratha Jatra, in a radio program, he mentioned about this incident that the queens of Dwarka often used to notice that Krishna during the day is always absent-minded. Krishna's mind was not there. Although he was there, but his mind was not there in Dwarka. And at night, they would hear Krishna in his sleep. He would call out to the residents of Vrindavan, his friends, his cows, his mother, his father, the gopis. He would call out. So they could see that although Krishna is in Dwarka, but he is actually in Vrindavan. During the day, his mind is in Vrindavan, and at night, he goes to Vrindavan, although his body stays in Dwarka. So they became curious, what is there in Vrindavan that Krishna is always absorbed in Vrindavan? What's so special about Vrindavan? So they, one day they approached Mother Rukmini. Said, you are in Vrindavan with Krishna all along. So please tell us what is there, what Krishna used to do, and what is there that Krishna is so attached to Vrindavan for? Who are those residents of Vrindavan that Krishna is always absorbed in their thoughts? So Mother Rukmini said, okay, I will tell you when Krishna and Balaram won't be there. If Ramakrishna are here, and if they get to hear this description, they'll be in a difficult situation. So we'll spare them that agony. And one day when Krishna and Balaram were away, the queens approached Mother Rukmini and said, please tell us, I'm sorry, Mother Rohini, and requested, please tell us about Krishna Balaram's activities in Vrindavan. And Mother Rohini started to describe Krishna and Balaram's activities in Vrindavan. And Subhadra was kept at the door to guard the gate and guard the door so that Krishna Balaram doesn't, just in case Krishna Balaram or anybody comes, she should stop them from coming in. And while Mother Rohini started to describe, then Krishna and Balaram appeared there. But hearing Krishna Balaram's activities in Vrindavan, Subhadra also became so overwhelmed with emotion that her voice got choked. She couldn't speak. So she couldn't warn Rohini that and the queens that Krishna and Balaram has arrived. So she couldn't speak up, but she stretched her arms and stopped them from entering into the room. So Krishna was on one side and Balaram on one side. Subhadra stopped them. So just being stopped from entering, standing there, Krishna Balaram was hearing the description of his activities in Vrindavan with the residents of Vrindavan. So while hearing about those activities, Krishna and Balaram experienced such emotion that their forms changed. Their form was transformed. Like his eyes became large like two fully bloomed lotuses. His face lit up with a beautiful bright smile. And his rest of the limbs just dissolved. And like his whole countenance, his whole existence became, his head and his arms were stretched forward with an intense desire to embrace those associates, those residents of Vrindavan. And seeing Krishna and Balaram assuming that form, Subhadra also was induced with that emotion. She also assumed a similar form, but she felt an extreme guilt for stopping Krishna and Balaram from entering into the room by stretching her arms. So with a sense of guilt, her arms were withdrawn within her body. So that is why Krishna, Balaram and Subhadra assume that form where Krishna and Balaram's arms are stretched forward with an intense desire to embrace their intimate, most intimate associates in Vrindavan. And Subhadra's arms just were withdrawn within the body. So this is the mystery of Krishna, Balaram, Subhadra assuming that form, and how this form is eternally present in the spiritual sky. Where is it present? Where are these forms present? They are present in Dwarka. This is actually Krishna of Dwarka intensely desiring to go back to Vrindavan. Krishna himself is wanting to go back to Vrindavan, to be with his devotees in Vrindavan. The most intimate devotees in the mellow of friendship, parental and conjugal, principally in the milieu of conjugal relationship. Now there is another aspect of this Jagannath's pastimes that has been revealed in Chaitanya Charitamrita through the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing in front of the chariot of Lord Jagannath, and he was singing a song which was a love song, a song describing the love affair between a young boy and a young girl. And the young girl is describing that the one who stole my heart when I was young, today he is my Lord. He has become my Lord. Meaning, now he is my husband. We have become united. And it's the same springtime night where the gentle breeze is blowing from the kadamba trees, carrying the fragrance of Malati flower. And I am the same same heroine, the lover, with my beloved. But still my heart is yearning to go back to the bank of the river Reva under the Betasi trees. Mahaprabhu was singing that song in front of Lord Jagannath's chariot. Apparently, what is this song describing? A young girl is speaking about her love story and her dissatisfaction and trying to go back to the young days when they were not married and the affairs they were having and so forth. Everyone was wondering why Mahaprabhu is singing this song. The only person who knew the meaning of that song or the purpose of this song of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Swarup Damodar. Then Ratha Jatra was over, and one day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Rupa Goswami's kutir, Rupa Goswami's thatched hut, grass hut. And at that time Rupa Goswami was not there, but Mahaprabhu, he went to take bath in the river, in the ocean. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was waiting for him, and he noticed that a palm leaf was stuck on the ceiling of the hut. So out of curiosity he pulled it out, and he saw a beautiful verse has been written on that palm leaf with handwriting like beautiful as pearls. And that song is describing, Radharani is telling her friend, "My dear friend, I met Krishna again in Kurukshetra. After 100 years of separation, Srimati Radharani met Krishna in Kurukshetra on the occasion of the solar eclipse." And she's saying, "And the same, I am the same Radha. And I met Krishna again. But still my heart is yearning to go to the bank of Jamuna, to the forest of Vrindavan, where the whole atmosphere is steeped with the fifth note of Krishna's flute." Mahaprabhu, when Rupa Goswami came back, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of intense happiness and joy. He slapped Rupa Goswami at the back. He said, "Rupa, how did you get to know my heart? How did you get to know my heart?" Then Mahaprabhu asked his Sarup Damodar, "Sarup, how did Rupa get to know my heart?" Sarup Damodar said, "My Lord, who can ever get to know your heart? Only when you reveal your heart to somebody, only when you allow somebody, then only can one understand your heart." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Yes, Rupa is very dear to me." So, the song that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was singing, it was actually singing in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani met Krishna after 100 years of separation. Srimati Radharani, who could not even bear the separation from Krishna due to the blinking of her eyes, for a moment that her eyes would blink and she would not be able to see Krishna, who could not bear this separation for a wink of an eye, and for that she blamed Brahma, that what kind of creator you are, that you created a body that has the eyes that blink. And that Radharani had to bear the separation for 100 years. And after 100 years, on the occasion of solar eclipse, Krishna went to Kurukshetra. It is a custom since time immemorial that people go to Shamanta Panchak in Kurukshetra on the occasion of solar eclipse and take bath in Shamanta Panchak. And the residents of Vrindavan also went there on that occasion. And after the solar eclipse, when everyone was arranging to leave the place, the gopis got the news that Krishna was there. Krishna was present. Krishna also came. So they ran to meet Krishna. At that time, Krishna was just about to leave Kurukshetra. He was already on his chariot, along with Balaram and Subhadra, in 3 different chariots. But the residents of Vrindavan just ran and saw Krishna there after 100 years of separation. But Radharani, she wondered that this is not the Krishna that I used to know. The Krishna that I know is a cowherd boy. But this is a prince. Krishna that I know, he wears a peacock feather on his head. But this Krishna is wearing a crown. The Krishna that I know wears a flower garland on his torso, on his neck. But this Krishna is wearing a valuable ornaments and jewels. The Krishna that I know wears a yellow dhoti. But this Krishna is decked in royal robes. The Krishna that I know carries a flute in his hand. But this personality is decked with armors and sword and bows and arrows. The Krishna that I know is in Vrindavan, in the serene atmosphere of the forest. And here this personality is surrounded by all these nobilities and soldiers and elephants and horses, and they're making such a clamor and noise. So Radharani felt that this is not the Krishna that I knew, although she met him after 100 years. And in the meantime, Krishna, just seeing the residents of Vrindavan, his dearmost friends, his most intimate associates, he experienced such an emotion that his face lit up with a beautiful smile. His eyes became like two fully bloomed lotuses. And in that emotion, his whole countenance just became his arms and head. And with his arms, he just wanted to embrace all those residents of Vrindavan. And the residents of Vrindavan, seeing the mood of Srimati Radharani and seeing the mood of Krishna, they just got hold of the chariot along with the horses, and they started to drag the chariot towards Vrindavan. And that is the festival of Radha Yatra. So in this way, in different scriptures and through the descriptions of our acharyas, the identity of Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra have been most wonderfully revealed to us. No matter what others think about Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra, but to us the understanding is very clear. This is Krishna along with Balaram and Subhadra. And they are just the Krishna of Dwarka who came to Kurukshetra. This Jagannath Puri is actually Kurukshetra. Krishna, Dwarkesh Krishna, has come here and he is yearning to go back to Vrindavan. Krishna doesn't want to be in Dwarka. He simply wants to be in Vrindavan because he simply wants to be in the association of his devotees, exchanging the most intense love of friendship and parental and conjugal relationship. So that is what Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra are. And that's why when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, when Krishna came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, assuming the mood of Srimati Radharani, he came to Jagannath Puri. Because he was in the same mood. Krishna himself is hankering for the association of his devotees of Vrindavan. Krishna himself is hankering for the association of Krishna in Vrindavan. That is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and took shelter of Lord Jagannath in Jagannath Puri after taking sannyas. Because the mood is the same. Both are actually wanting to go to Vrindavan. Jai Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki Gaur Premanande Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any question? Yes.
When actually the law came in the happening thereafter, it happened in long back. From Bhagavat we know that Krishna has gone to Mithila or Patna for fighting Garapan. But is there any time when he came to this place as a document of Bhagavat?
In Srimad Bhagavatam, to Jagannath Puri, you see.
Is there any document to prove he has
come to his this place? No. But this place is Kurukshetra. Krishna went to Kurukshetra. So Krishna came here. This place is not different from Kurukshetra.
But some priest says, Lord Krishna came here and he took rice here in Puri. How far is it connected with wisdom?
Well, maybe, I don't know. Like, but as you said, the Bhagavad doesn't describe, but Krishna can do anything. He can expand while he is playing with in the lap of Mother Yashoda. At the same time, he can steal butter from other gopis' house. Right? So, for Krishna, everything is possible. So, for us, there is no need to disbelieve. Yes, Krishna came. Krishna is here already. What's the question of coming? He's already here. Yes?
Is there a difference in Jagannath and Mayapur from the Jagannath temple here?
No, it's the same Jagannath. Same. Jagannath is Jagannath. Actually, Jagannath at some point just went to Mayapur. And because Jagannath also wants to be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. An apparent reason was there was the fear of some attack from Raktabahu, a big atheist. So the worshippers of Jagannath took Jagannath to Mayapur. Rajapur. Yeah, Rajapur. Okay. Yes. Yes.
So how do we understand
Vrindavan, Mayapur and Jagannath Puri are three different Yes. You see, yeah. Golok has two chambers principally. One is Vrindavan and the other is Mayapur. In the Vrindavan chamber, Krishna along with his devotees are enjoying the loving exchange. And that loving exchange, that love that Krishna experienced in Vrindavan, in Golok Mayapur, Krishna as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributes that love. So principally there are two chambers. But there is another consideration, like just below that is Dwarka. So between Dwarka and Vrindavan, there is this Kurukshetra. Right? This part is in the middle. From one side, from one perspective, it is on that side, and from another perspective, it's on this side. So this Jagannath Puri, in one hand, it is Dwarka. Right? And on the other hand, it is Vrindavan. It depends from which perspective you're looking at it. Right? So that's why, in that sense, these three places are synonymous. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. We can have a little kirtan now.